Good evening. Welcome to the June 12th regular of the Chippewa Local Schools Board of Education. We'll begin with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Hammond, would you call the roll?
Mr. DeAngelis.
Present.
Mrs. Finn.
Present.
Mr. Golub.
Present.
Mr. Hershberger is absent. Mr. Shafrath.
Here.
To approve the minutes from the May 8th regular meeting as well as the May 19th and June 6th special board meetings, is there a...
So moved.
Motion by Finn, is there a second?
Yep.
Second by Shafrath. Any questions, comments, discussion?
The only thing I will regret is request are the dates corrected from the approval line.
Oh. Okay.
That makes sense? That didn't make sense?
It didn't for me.
Okay. I would like the minutes to reflect his date as being approved versus what was sent to us.
Got it.
Thank you.
Okay. Hearing none.
Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes. Motion carries. Up next, we will move into our student and staff recognition. Mr. Osborne?
A couple of guests that are here tonight. In the back is Dylan Sutowski. Dylan is going to join us as a long-term substitute for the year at the high school and also as one of our assistant football coaches. And I'd also like Michael Burns, who's on here, came all the way from Columbus to give us some options to review in regards to financing for a facilities project. But my favorite part of the board meeting is being able to introduce our needle mover. Emily Conyers is right here, I believe. It's hard to tell which one's which. The one's daughter's maybe a little shorter. Emily is a dedicated, driven teacher. She begins each year by taking time to know her students on a personal level, then begins building on to support our students. She strives to meet all students' needs in their individual learning levels by collecting data and designing engaging for her students. Emily actively investigates new teaching strategies. She truly makes a positive impact on her students and teaching team. Share success with colleagues and build her positive growth for students and teachers alike. She is actively involved in the community, lives in our community, and is a positive role model for all students and staff here at Chippewa. She is truly an asset to our district. To name Emily Conyers as our June needle mover.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Up next, we will move into the consideration of approval of donations. We have several here from the class of 2022, slumber, one anonymous drum set, the Chippewa Athletic Booster Club, some books, and one from Dave Parfit. Is there a motion?
What was that class?
Yeah, I was singing the same.
What did I say?
2022.
Oh, my bad. Class of 2002.
2002. That's a great class. Thank you for correcting that.
It's one of top class.
We remember them fondly.
Wait, let's take a moment to remember the class of 2002. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Finn. Is there a second?
Yes.
Second by Shafrath. Our discussion.
Were you alive in 2000?
Yes, barely. But yes. And Emily was my third grade teacher while we're aging. Since we're opening this can of worms tonight.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Gold.
Is there anything else anyone would like to add to that?
Yes, I have a couple questions.
Okay.
The books being donated to Hazel Harvey and CIS, are those aren't textbooks, correct? Those are fun reading books? Or
those are, they picked their own books and got to take them home, so they get to keep them. So the kids have them, they picked the book that they wanted and took them home.
Oh, I remember seeing about that. Oh, that's marvelous. And I haven't seen the Booster Club be on here, the Athletic Booster Club, regarding UMS in the past. Is that something new that's starting, or?
Which I don't have a problem with. Our treasurer will weigh in on this.
I don't know that it's new or not new. I just know that we have become more aware to cover certain items of equipment when the requisitions are written up.
All right, I understand that. I'm just thinking way back when. Not a problem.
Anything else? Hearing none.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Schrath?
Yep.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes, motion carries. Up next, we'll move to public participation. One person signed up, Ms. Cindy Jackson. There's a microphone at the bottom for you.
It's a big 2002 night. Congrats. I've been your third grade teacher. Take it face value here. My name is Cindy Jackson. I graduated, my main name is Mall. So Cindy Mall Jackson, also graduated with TJ. We, as a class, just had 20th, late to the year, like 21st class reunion, and we got together. And we had some extra funds left over, and it was a matter of what to do with these funds, the best appropriate. So I just want to read this to you. It was to Chippewa Local School District and St. Peter and Paul Catholic regarding open accounts for students in the 2022-2023 school year. As members of the graduating class, Chippewa High School in 2000, we feel that it's our duty to give back to the students that follow in our footsteps. They lead from our examples and are taking over on a road we once traveled ourselves. Most of us started in this town at Hazel Harvey or St. Peter and Paul Catholic School and ended our final years at Chippewa High School, but we have become bonded over the years. Many of us have found our way back to Doylestown, walking our children and our families on the same paths did. We have decided to give back as a group to as many students as we could. No parent or student should feel the weight of a debt as this year comes. We like to propose a donation to cover the fees of lunch debts, school fee debts, or any student debt incurred at Chippewa Locals with the money we've raised at our 20th year reunion. This first donation will be donated in the names of three members of our wedding class that we have lost, passed long before they should have. We're thankful for the time that we spent with them, but our class will always feel the void of the world's loss of these. It took a little time to figure out what to do to memorialize these three members of our class. Do we start a scholarship in their name? Do we donate? Do we give gifts? We feel that if they were still here, they would all appreciate that the money raised will not just go to one individual, but it will be spread to multiple families and students and help take a small burden off their shoulders as the year comes to an end. These three humans were very lively spirits. They always laughed, and they always had jokes or just made you want to be around them. To our friends, David Tackett, Nick Nicely, Kevin Clark, we give this donation in your memory. We hope that the students and families of Chippewa Local School District, you were loved, you were celebrated, and you're greatly missed through the years that have passed and the years still to come. We hope that the students who receive gifts pay it forward sometime in their journey of life, and may they never have to worry about them again. So please accept our donation of 19 to Chippewa High School graduating class of 2002, and on behalf of our dear friends and classmates, David Tackett, Nick Knight, and Kevin Clark. We congratulate the graduating class of 2023 and to all the students as they take their journey to the next level at Chippewa Local Schools. Sincerely, myself and the graduating class of Chippewa 2002. We decided as a class at our reunion that this isn't going to be a one-time thing. We are looking into creating a table to give this donation as a yearly thing where we want to open it up to other graduating classes if join or if anybody else would like to join to it. But we wanted to make sure that this first one was very special in the names of our three classmates that we did lose. So I hope that you've accepted that donation and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Seeing none, we will now move into the treasurer's update and agenda items. Mr. Hammond.
Thank you. I've got four items tonight, most of them major. It's a quick financial update on the financial report itself. There's nothing extraordinary there to report. The second item under my action items is close out of the building project to build this school that we're in. It has taken almost two years of my career here to come to this point. Hopefully we will have that closed out this fiscal year. So we got a couple more weeks. And the motion is for the president and I to be able to sign this paperwork and move it forward. We will probably be sending a check back to OFCC in the amount of just shy $90,000, $50,000 of that being a return of used net principal, and $40,000 being interest on their behalf. We have in our 200 account, or we have the class of. So what you experienced tonight was the class of 2002. But we have money setting in the class of 2019, 2020, 2021. Once a class graduates, they're no longer half those funds. And so they're just kind of sitting out there being unused. So what I'm requesting tonight is to be able to move those funds over to the principal's account, which is similar in the fact the principal can use those funds for the benefit of the students, very much like the class of 2000XX is using it for the benefit of their students. Lastly is temporary appropriations for fiscal year 23. At the end of this month, we have a special meeting when I will be requesting approval of permanent appropriations for the current year. So with that, I would like for motions.
Yeah. Okay. On item A, is there a motion?
So moved.
By Finn, is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAngelis. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Gullib?
Yes. Motion carries. Item B, is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Finn, is there a...
Yeah.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
Thank Mr. Hammond for answering my questions before I had an opportunity to ask them.
My pleasure.
Is there anything else? Hearing none.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Gullib?
Yes. Motion carries. Item C, is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Finn, is there a second?
Yeah.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
No, again, my questions were answered. Could ask them.
All right. Is Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item D.
So moved.
Oh, is there a motion? Motion by Finn. Is there a second?
Yep.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Gullib?
Yes. Motion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hammond.
Up next, we will move into the superintendent's update. Mr. Osborne?
Okay, first on the AA, I have received a couple phone calls this past year when our kids went to state, and they voiced their displeasure to me regarding trying to purchase tickets, not being able to buy a ticket, get a ticket and enter the event. Everything had to be done electronically through transfers. So there is a bill floating out there in the Ohio House that would make them, the OHSA and their tickets, require cash sales for tickets. This does not impact us at all, just so you know that. I mean, we do cash sales, and so that does not impact us all. It impact potentially comes if it was passed. People want to be able to go buy their own ticket and not electronically. So I'm just keeping you, one, I'm aware of it. Two, it truly has very little, if no impact on us at all. Letting you know, I've got a couple phone calls about it. I know it bothered some of our folks that don't like to use electronic money, so to speak. So, and on the second one I have there, facility use form, I put on your desk. put together a facility with rentals and what it would cost. I am spending way too much time trying to decipher what group is what group and what should be paid. It's coming from the building level up, and I'm sending it back to the building. So we worked hard to really pinpoint groups, identifies who's using our facilities. We've had great people using our facilities. It's not about keeping people out, but at the same time, it's about knowing who's using our facilities and when, and making sure that they're adhering to our guidelines and rules. And there are fees that are associated with that, with our facilities. And so, read through them. Those numbers, amounts, percentages are similar. By no means are they in concrete. But keep in mind and take a look at those schools and how they go. And if we need to adjust, talk to me personally, and I will see and I'll bounce those off and put some different ones in front. But keep in mind, none of these is passed until we pass board policy on facilities. Once that policy is passed, then we'd be able, here's how I would do it. So this is not putting a cart in front of the horse, they're attached. And so anticipating board policy being updated and include this, and I missed the OSBA, so they had an idea as to how he was looking at it and being able to operate. And in my third piece, I'm gonna have Hughes come up front here, and she's gonna give us a little introduction into our state tours and be able to compare them to how we did across the state and kind of give you an idea. You need to screen, don't you? Yeah, make sure you.
I'll get the screen.
Okay. Well, you have the packets on your desk that she's going to present.
This one?
Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
The light's on. I think there's a light on.
Is it? Oh.
Okay, it's better.
We got to get you for the recording.
Oh, wait. It's on now. Okay, so good evening. I've put a presentation for you to go over the scores and our student achievement for this spring, 2023, as well as just kind of a glimpse for you to take a peek at our five-year data trend. So this will have all of our achievement for the 5 years, excluding 2020 when we were not here and we were at home for COVID. So you will see a little dip in some of the trends as we came back from the pandemic. But as I'm looking through this, I'd be happy to see that the strength and achievement over the past couple years where we're regaining to where we had been prior to the pandemic. So the first slide is gonna be our third grade state assessment trend data. There is a black box around the school year. In comparing ourselves to the state is in red and orange. We're well above the state average for proficiency and achievement. We like to pride ourselves that we don't want to just compare to the state, but also those achievement scores we are collecting here and now, so that can be presented at another time. As you'll take note, we are well above the state average. We reached an 84% in English language arts this year in third, and a 90% in math, with the state average being a 59 and a 62%. For fourth grade, our achievement was in the 80s and 90s again, 83% for our grade English language art for fourth grade math. This has gone up over the past couple years, as you'll note. So we are trying to get back to where we had been back in 2018 and prior. Some of our scores as we get to fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, you're going to notice some dips. But I would want to mind that we've also had some shifts and changes in how our instruction has looked over the past several years, going from a 5 into our junior senior high school building, which is 712 and has other opportunities for our students otherwise did not have access to prior to that shift. We also lost the ability to have some of those vertical continuum conversations when our fifth and sixth grade went to our CIS building and our 712 went to the junior high.
So as you'll notice, this is the first year for fifth grade. They have science included assessments. And again, well above the state average, 88% in ELA, 3% in math, and 87% overall for science. In sixth grade, something I did want you to maybe take note of, it won't be able to be as easily just across the board slot in one specific slide, but when we do want to compare our achievement from year to year, 22 data from the previous grade level to see where they're going to measure up this year in 2023. So in comparison, you could take a peek at, we're on sixth grade now, where our sixth grade did in 2022 as fifth graders and where they're at now in sixth grade. So you will see some changes there as well. But once again, well above the state average, where the averages for ELA and math 50s and 70s. For seventh grade, we definitely see some dips over time, especially in the area of mathematics. As Mr. Rodriguez has described and discussed with you in the past, seventh grade is where our students, for the first time, have the opportunity to start taking high school credits. They take the high school course for algebra or for geometry. Some of our students, even in seventh grade, are one accelerated and are taking. So where we see some of those dips in what looks like very poor math scores, our highest achieving students are not taking that grade level assessment. They are accelerated and on a different track, and they are contributing to some of our other score end of course exams. But I will have you note that in 2021, we were only at 4% proficiency in that first year of shift, but that was also coming back from the 2020 pandemic home instruction period, as we had many, many students that were still at home using our virtual learning model. We did increase then in 22 to the 18% for math proficiency and are back up within the 60s. So we like the trend that we're noticing there and are not at that 80% or above. We are intentional in targeting the interventions and the instructional practices with grade levels so that we can get back on track to where we were prior to the pandemic. In eighth grade, we have another. So from fifth grade to eighth grade, we've maintained in those high 80%, where the state average has been in the 60s. And as you'll note, for our math and ELA, we are well above the state average as well. Again, eighth grade, our students are taking those end of course exams. So our eighth grade overall achievement does not reflect necessarily where our student achievement is within that grade level. So next, the next school achievement slides, there are six content areas that are assessed in high school. We have biology, algebra, and geometry on this slide. And as you'll note, we are again well above the state averages. This current year, our biology was a 92%, with the state average only being 61. Algebra was a 77%. Our geometry was an 81%. These scores are going up, getting us closer to where we were prior to the pandemic. And our last slide is showing our achievement in the areas of English Language Arts 2, which is a sophomore level class, U.S. History, and U.S. Again, we are well above where we would hope to be. We don't want to be complacent or content, though, at. So we're continuing to look at ways to improve our instruction, meeting regularly with building admin and instructional. Get our students that might not be performing to their greatest level of achievement, as well as finding ways to get our high-achieving students to be enriched even more so. Please feel free, as you're looking through this information, to email me with questions that you might have. We're going to continue to analyze this data further and even begin to be more student-specific with the analysis of the information we have, looking at their trends over the past 5 years, not just grade levels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will move into the superintendent's agenda. Mr. Osborne.
May I just add?
Oh,
I'm
my bad.
Okay.
You may add.
Thank you for allowing me to adjust the agenda here. I think those numbers are great. I know we always strive for the 100, but, you know, we can't all get to 100. So I think for us to be focusing on students getting the assistance they want and challenging our other students is what education is all about. I'm very proud of this. So thank our staff.
Absolutely.
Staff's done a fantastic job.
Yes.
We have tremendous leaders, and it's been truly a group effort all the way around. And even more than that, when you have the support at home from it, just
yes.
Always. So I'd like to really thank everybody.
Yes.
Absolutely. Is there anything else to add on that? Okay, now we will move into the superintendent's agenda. Mr. Osborne.
Okay. First one in A is asking for consideration to approve the contract for our SRO. That'd be 8 samples again in for next year. This is $53,025 for the 23-24 school year, and that's part of Exhibit B.
Your motion?
So moved.
Motion by Finn. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Second by Shafra. Questions, comments, discussion?
Other than I think Mr. Deputy Sample, whatever, Officer Samples, I'll get it right, is doing a full job, and isn't he overseas right now with the Special Olympics?
He's doing something Special
yes.
Olympics, right? Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely marvelous that he gets involved with the Special Olympics and is there now and able to, you know, pass it in. I'd like to thank him for that.
Absolutely. Perfect. Is there anything else? None?
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Gullett?
Yes. Motion carries. Up next, we will move into the superintendent's consent agenda. Items under the consent agenda are considered routine and will be enacted under motion. Mr. Osborne, is there anything you'd like to highlight on the consent agenda?
There's nothing. We have our summer there. Again, we've had people that will come in during the summer and work. They're temporary employees. They have a start date, have an end date. So we won't be non-renewing them. They're done on July 28th. That is their last work day. And full resignations there with Clarissa and Keith Brown. And we had some that did some extra school work that are moving on the pay scale from a master's to master's plus 30. So direct questions for me.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAngelis. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
I'm good.
Hearing none?
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Gullett?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay. Up next, we will move into our board discussion. The first is a legislative update.
Before you do the legislative update, I'm going to have Mr. Burns come up here and sit beside
that?
Me. No, you can go first, but I'll just have him come up here and sit. Get a little organized.
Absolutely.
As you go ahead.
Mr. Burns, I will try not to take up too much of your time. I will try to be brief. To that end, board, I have a condensed version of this I will read off tonight, and I have a long version that I will spare you and just email it to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But,
thank you. Thank you.
So we know the state is a budget. House passed House Bill 33, and the Senate amendments to that were introduced last week, with the expected vote on those amendments being on June 15th. When we look at the big picture, over the next 2 years, the proposed budget would decrease funding for K-12 schools by $542 million, increase funding in vouchers in an amount of $372 million over the next 2 years. So the state continuing to trend. The Senate version also modified certain calculations within the Fair School Funding Act, which according to the Ohio Board Association will cause a reduction in the state share of funding while increasing the burden on local districts, bringing that trend. The bill also added another bill which would rename the Department of Education as Department of Education and Workforce and would create the position of Director of Education and Workforce. And that's really taking a look at the budget, at the impact on Chippewa local schools, taking a look at a spreadsheet, and it's projected fiscal year 24, we would receive anywhere between 15 to 17,000 in additional aid, and for fiscal 25, roughly $11,000 to $12,000 increase in state funding. So as we see the state continue to shrink the amount that invests in public schools, the amount that Chippewa specifically gets doesn't seem to fluctuate much. So that's taking little bills that, as you would imagine, there's a lot of focus on the budget over these past couple weeks. There's a number of bills floating around out there. Senate Bill 49, known as the Religious Expression Days, or RED Act, was by the Senate. require boards of education to adopt a policy accommodating up to 3 days of religious observances for students. Bill 11 is the statewide backpack voucher program, continues to float around. We know we've talked about that a number of times over the past year or so. House Primary and Secondary Education Committee. House Bill 6, also known as the Safe Sports Act, would require schools and state institutions of higher education to designate separate singles teams and sports each sex. That is has been reported by the House Higher Education Committee to the full House. There is House Bill 8, which has been referred to the House Primary and Secondary Education Committee, that is was known as the Parental Nescence, and I added a lot of that in my longer update. The bill would require public schools to adopt a policy on parental notification regarding student health and well-being, as well as instructional materials with sexually explicit intent. So again, that's House Bill 8. And then the last bill I have noted for an update is House Bill 103. In essence, would establish a Ohio Social Studies Standards Task Force to develop new social studies standards for the 2005 school year. That is currently pending in the House Primary and Secondary Education Committee. I know Mr. Osborne mentioned there is a bill, I couldn't tell you the number off the top of my head, about ticket sales at different events. I looked at it, like you said, it didn't seem like there's much of an impact on us, so I didn't feel it, you know, worthy of being discussed tonight, but just want to let you know that he's right, that is out there, and I can include some materials on that in the longer update. If again, I have a longer version of this I will be sending out to you sometime tomorrow, but just wanted to give the board that update. Are any questions?
Thank you.
Thought that was pretty short. I didn't feel like I took time on that.
So if I could indulge you just for a second, because he and I've had some conversation with the Senate bill. Short-term impact is really not negligible for CHIP. The bigger concern at that 60,000-foot level is what happens to public school in the state of Ohio in the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. That there seems a strong intent to shift dollars out of the public school arena to what I will call the private school arena. And it concerns me greatly. Number Cody just presented tonight, those private schools aren't having to live up to those same standards. When I first entered this profession, one of the things I learned was school funding at the state level is really considered residual budgeting. What's left after they've passed all their dollars out to everybody else. Now we start moving into the, call it the voucher program, but now the voucher program will take a level up. They may be the residual funding. You may be the orphan stepchild getting the residual of the residual funding. So just my concern for us as a community and for public education in Ohio.
Thank you for adding. I know you and I have this budget privately before, so I thank you for adding that to the update. Does anyone have any other questions? Mr. Burns, committee update, take it away.
All right, I'll introduce him here for a second.
Yeah. All right.
Just to kind of give everybody a memory, back when I was hired, one of my number one goals was to look at facilities and start the refurbishing of facilities, especially the aging ones, and we started at the stadium. We took a condemned football field, and we have one of the nicest fields around, and it's been used for tournaments, and in fact, we get a redo policy. We have a 75-year-old building, a 50-year-old building, and a 5-year-old building. Our 75 is in need of some drastic repairs. We went down this road, COVID, through the House Bill 153 process. We looked at our finance options, and we were at the point of hiring a contractor to build it. And on a 3-2 vote, the answer was no. Burns was part of all the way back. So even pre-IRA, Mike was giving us some funding options looking at in ways that we could make this work. We are now revisiting it as we're going to put millions into our buildings, whether we're going to put it into three buildings, whether we're going to put into two buildings, whether we're going to build a new building. There's all kind of financial obligations and ways that we can achieve it. And so Michael's here is to provide ideas, things to think about, not telling us how to do it, but more or less, here are the options to lay out of you. And yes, he's still willing to work with us after all these years. So now I'll give it to Michael. And one thing I do want to note for the record, he's never sent me an invoice yet.
Thank you for that introduction, and thanks for having me tonight. It's great to see all of you again. I'm here really, to, like I pointed out, I'm here to provide you information, not really discuss which way is the best way to go at this point. You know the school better than I do, so I'll let you guys figure out the best way to do it. But I want to give you your options, because it's not as simple as going to a bank and saying, hey, I want a mortgage to buy a home, or get a home equity loan to do improvements to your home. More complicated, there's limitations involved. And since this board is, you know, some relatively newer members on this board, it makes sense to start with just a little background on what you questions are. And I'll try to get through this pretty quickly. I don't want to take too much time either. But in the state of Ohio, public school districts are limited to the amount of debt they can issue on an unvoted debt capacity. In fact, they're very limited. A school district this size, it's the amount of unvoted debt capacity, you can see the top there, is one of your assessed value. For this school, it equates to about $292,000. You can barely buy a bus, maybe two buses, with that amount of money of unvoted debt capacity. If you're really going to do a sizable project, as the superintendent's mentioning here, you really have to go and you want to issue debt, you have to do it as a voted bond issue, which means we have to go to the voters, and we have to ask the voters, yes or no. Do you want to vote yes or no? You voted bond issue. You did back in the day when you built this beautiful facility we're sitting in today. And you can see you have a debt limitation there, about $26 million and balance of about $12 million remaining. You also qualify for what your special needs, which we don't need about because your balance, your voted debt capacity is large enough to do what your superintendent's mentioning. So we won't talk about special needs too much, but you do qualify for special needs if you need to extend or maximize your capacity. Debt, we don't need the vote of the taxpayers. Voted debt, we do. The third way to do financing is what we call a lease. I can pass it. A lease or a certificate of participation. Both of those are leases. So essentially, a lease is not considered debt. It's a lease. So those are debt. And I have examples of each one here. And I feel bad that you have to keep running on me. I apologize.
No. I need my step.
The first one I just passed out is a voted bond issue.
I'm not
okay?
Sure. Excuse me. All yes. In person? Or
just each.
One each?
Yep.
Then we got too many. Okay, this goes back. Thank you.
Yep. So the first one you see here, I did two scenarios for you. And they're just ballpark project sizes. I'm assuming the maximum term, the bottom is 37 years, according to the Ohio Revised Code, for a new school facility or renovations to a school facility, the maximum term you can go out for is 40 years, 40. But because a lot of times we do these kind of renovations, there's other things like equipment, furniture, or whatever the case might be, technology, brings down the useful life to 37 years in general. Showed you a 37-year voted bond issue, and just for discussion's sake, since the people in the room cannot see it, we're just estimating out there about $10 million. 37 years, that equates to about 1.8 mils, which means on a $100,000 home, it equates to about, let's call it $101 per year, per 100. So that's for the $10 million, 37-year voted bond issue. Due to a lot of my clients say, hey, 37 is a little too long, especially for maybe like a project like this. And I like more of, you know, most of the people here have a mortgage. You went out and got a mortgage for 30 years. I like to show a 30-year voted bond issue as well. So 10 million, 30 years equates to about 2.01 mils, or about $113 per year per $100,000 home. Okay, so that's the first avenue, is if you decide to do a voted bond issue, you could do that. I know that sometimes, because you have to go through the method of going to the voters, Plus, you know, this school, you know, kind of prides itself on trying to taxes really low for the community. And I think that's very important. I think people don't really realize, you know, no one likes taxes. I hate paying taxes, and I'm in the business of doing this. But you live in a very school district, and I need to make that clear to everyone. This is a very affordable school district. I live in Westerville, which is Ohio. This down in Central Ohio are significantly higher than the taxes here in this region of Ohio. In specific, your school district itself, your taxes are relatively low compared to a lot of your neighbor districts. So I just want to point to everyone, because I know that's always a hot topic. With that said, you have low taxes because your school district does a good job of managing your finances year in, year out. And in fact, your school district, since I've worked with you, when I first met years ago, with the addition of your new treasurer, he's brought a lot of value to this school district. He's improved your finances over the years, strong board, managing your expenditures, not spending. We went through COVID and we got a lot of free money from the federal government. You used that right way. You didn't just go out and just spend it. You guys did a good job of spending that in the right way from my analysis and from my decisions with your treasurer and your superintendent. You guys have done a great job. So your taxes are in a really good spot today. I wish I had your, my school district is one of the most expensive in the state. And it's not like we're getting any better scores than the young lady said on the report cards. Our scores aren't much better, but our taxes are a lot higher. So let's go into a voted bond issue. It's a low millage rate. You know, I say under 2 mils is pretty easy to pass in general, the way you want to go. It's pretty easy, it's easier to pass than some maybe 9-10 mil bond issues. But you're also on this to your superintendent and talking to your treasurer. You're in a spot where if you choose to, you could potentially do this project and fund it internally without going to the voters. Now it's gonna be, you know, might have to sharpen our pencil a little bit, make some adjustments. We might have to make sure, we definitely have to look at our financials and make sure we understand what's going on and any excess money. But if you want to fund it without going to the voters, we could do that by issuing a lease purchase, or likely what we call certificate of participation, COPS. And I just handed out here just a quick little, you know, back information. I'm not going to go through it with you. You can read it yourself. But it's just background information on what a COPS is. Essentially, it's a lease debt, so therefore we don't have to worry about our debt limitations. And with a COPS, we can go 30 years. And I think really the key. The other way we could do this is a lease purchase, which again is a lease, not debt, but with a bank. And what I would do is I work with you, I bid it out to 50 or 60 banks, include all your regional banks, your local banks, and your national banks, make them all compete to buy your lease. And therefore, you get a lot of issue, it drives down the interest rates. The challenge we're gonna have with doing a lease purchase for one this size, if we stay in range, is the payment, the annual payment of lease, we can only go out maybe 15 or so. Just like your home mortgage, when you all bought your home, you probably bought your home, you got a 30-year mortgage to make your annual or your payment as small as possible. With a lease, we may want to do the same thing. But then Ira can sleep at night. I'm sorry, if you can sleep at night, and as well as the board, you want to probably make your payment as small as possible if you know you can afford it. So we probably stretch the payment out the 30-year term. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So this is, the last one. Here's an example of a COPS. And I just ran 30 years because, again, I'm trying to make the payment as small as possible. We may end up through discussions that do a 25-year, a 20-year, 15, you know, whatever term you want to do. I can run all kind of numbers. But if we did a 30-year COPS, conservatively, we're looking at annual payment about on a $10 million COPS. So your treasurer and I and your superintendent will probably want to sit down and go through your forecast and kind of figure out, okay, is that a payment we could handle? And I know you have some cash up front, and from talking to your superintendent about maybe $2 million down or maybe putting $4 million down, and I ran those numbers as well. You can see what that do your annual payment. A couple really interesting things to keep in mind, though. One, we put money down, your treasurer, and some of you guys may sleep a little better too, knowing you have a smaller payment in the future. But the other thing to think about is we're in a unique time right now, because right now we're in an inverted yield curve. So in the first couple years, the interest rate's higher than maybe years 8, 9, 10, 11. So what I'm saying is, right now you could $2 million, you can invest it in Star Ohio, which is accruing an interest rate of 5.25, and you're on that interest, mm-hmm. on that cash, then you're paying out an interest expense on a COPS. Plus you have that $2 million or $4 million that you may say, hey, I'm earning more money than I'm paying out, so it's, you know, it's a win, right? But you have the flexibility of having that cash, of that uh-oh moment, that oh shoot moment, where one year you have higher expenses for whatever reason, and you have that cash that you can kind of help, you know, ride the waves. And your treasurer does a really good come in the future. You mentioned 5, 8, 9 years from now. I love his proactiveness trying to think down the road. That cash in your hand may help you kind of ride some of those tougher years, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So it's something I all want to talk about, but I just want to point out to the group, using cash in today's market is not always the best idea. Mm-hmm. But we may decide we want to. So that's why I ran all these options. Again, we're just talking about picture to then back to a work session and we can talk more details. So those are options. Not an option. Vote it, we could do that. Less than 2 mils, probably easier to pass in most communities, but it's a lot of work. Then you also have the issue of what if the voters vote no, right? Mm-hmm. They may vote no because they don't like the building. They may love the idea of doing a building. They may just vote no because they just can't afford, maybe they just don't want to pay additional taxes. So if they vote no, can you go back and fund it internally? Your own cash. How does that work, you know, from a political standpoint? That's something to think about as you move forward. Or you could do a COPS, which kind of what we were initially thinking is do a COPS issue and just take care of it ourselves and fund it internally down the road.
Okay. So, Mike, could I interrupt for a second?
Yes, definitely.
But let's say we did a bond issue. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask the same question on the other side. The upfront cost to have a bond issue.
They're essentially the same. Between a COPS is very slightly more expensive than a voted bond issue. All these numbers include all closing costs. And what I did is I just estimated. Okay, I'm just totally estimating this enough. I kind of know the range. And the interest rate you see, it says all in true interest costs. That's the cost of financing costs. And then the annual payment includes that as well.
Okay.
So I can give you more detail on, you know, specific items later, but that includes all closing costs.
So if I was to, let's just use $10 million as a mm-hmm. figure, what part of that $10 million can I plow into the building as opposed to covering that upfront cost?
The full $10 million. And it's because of how bonds are sold or COPS are sold as a premium. So the premium generation will essentially fund the closing costs. And then there would be some additional premium as well. And again, it's not a bad word. It's just how bonds are sold. It's not like you're paying a premium on something. You know, you're not going anywhere on vacation and paying a premium. It's just how bonds are sold. And then any excess premium will fund what you call capitalized interest, and it washes away through. I can share those numbers with you. Does that make sense?
So, yeah.
So the whole $10 million in this example would be used for project cost.
Yeah.
Very good question.
Yeah, you did that in the first sentence.
Yep. Sorry. I can sometimes talk too much. Any other questions from anyone? Okay. So that's the COPS. So what do you want to do, vote it by or a COPS, fund it internally? The other question that you asked me to point out is the Nexus revenues. And I do have some numbers here. I said the last time was the last time I'm going to have you jump up, but I do have one more. This is just totally back of the nap information, because this potentially could be a repayment source down the road. As you all know, Nexus, you're in a school district that has Nexus pipeline. They said they're going to pay X, and they came back, hey, we're just kidding, we're going to kill this and pay Y. They reduced it way down. They're only paying about 39%, if I remember correctly. They're paying of what the actual value is as of today.
And they've reduced their value.
They reduced the value. So they reduced value by 39, down to 39%. Instead of 100%, now it's down to 39.7%. Nexus came out last year. They filed, they settled on it. They settled at 58%, the orange box here. And then Lorain County came out and said, hey, we want to make you pay more. That they did that in a way, but I don't think they're going to change any opinion, and I think they're just pushing the inevitable down the road even further, which is going to hurt schools like yourself and a lot of my other clients. But essentially, you can see the purple box is where they're paying today. The black is what they should have been paying. Purple is what they're paying today. The orange is what the settlement amount was Nexus. The green shows you the difference if they come in at the settlement amount. So that could be used to your be used to help offset a portion of that COPS payment if and when that comes. Also keep in mind if they do set all these back years, 20, 21, 22, 23, all that's going to come in a lump sum payment to you. So that excess money coming eventually. Some amount is going to come to you eventually in a balloon payment. So I just wanted to share that as well. Another revenue source that we could be using. So I think that's all I have to share. I'm happy to talk about ballot deadlines if you're interested. Happy to talk about other things if you're interested. I'll leave it up to you.
Typical time. Let's say just a conversation. Mm-hmm. We choose to do it. And we go July 1. We went up. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to bring that to fruition?
You say July 1, that Mike, let's go. We would have it by late September, October.
So 3 to 4 months.
It takes, 60 to 90 days. 60 to 90 days, depending on how quickly you guys move. And that's cash in.
Thank you.
Is there, can you speak a little bit to any harm and delay on our part? So say, let's just say we want to ballot or wait a little COPS process. We just use ballot initiative. Those take times. They could be voted down, so you could go back, switch gears, go into a COPS for that. Is there, what sort of, I guess, harm or disadvantage is there to in terms of wait?
That's a very, very good question. And I wish I had a very solid answer for you. There's a lot of unknowns.
It's fair.
But I can say right now it is too late to be on the November ballot.
Yes.
Yep.
That means we're going in March. So March 24, they will vote. That means we won't be selling the bonds until mid-summer of 24. So going the voted bond way, we're not doing anything until next year.
Yeah.
So you got a whole year of time of, what's construction costs going to do? What kind of maintenance expenses do you have to pay on, good money being used on bad sort uses for the next year? And again, you have more detail of the product, and then interest rates. And I wish I knew the answer there. If you ask me offered what I think rates are going to do, I sure hope rates are going to come down, in fourth quarter 3. I've been saying that for a while. So it's getting kind of frustrating being in my field. And then can cost, you don't know what that's going to do. The good news for you, I think both of those are somewhat stabilizing, rates and construction. I think our state construction person on the board as well. So you might have a better handle on construction costs and what you think is going to happen going forward. My thoughts when talking to architects is it's kind of stabilizing.
Yeah, it seems like some materials are. Concrete's going up, but steel and stuff like that. Lumber seems to have plateaued a little bit. So.
And workforce is plateauing, or is that workforce cost going up still too?
It's pretty, I would say this time of year is staying pretty flat.
So to answer your question, those are the biggest construction costs and interest rates. And, hindsight's 2020, right? Wish we would have done it 3 years ago. So rates would have been at all-time low and construction costs would have been lower too.
It's a lot lower.
So it's hindsight 2020, but it is what it is. 3 years ago, I don't think you would have had the opportunity to deal with COPS. I don't know eventually to afford a COPS. Your treasurer, the board, the superintendent, you guys have done a great job taking it from here to here. And I do think you're in a spot now where we can have this conversation and we can sleep at night. It just comes down to how many we do. And I'll leave that up to you guys to figure out. Does that answer your question okay?
Yes. It seems like the big takeaway waiting is you just open yourself up to more unknowns and things that can go wrong.
Correct.
This is the general gist.
And I don't think...
No.
They may come down a little bit, but it's not going to be, people aren't going to start taking pay cuts. you know, it's my guess.
Yeah, no, I don't think wages are going to go down. Some, like, lumber's come down quite a bit. Steel come down, but, yeah, labor wages and stuff have not.
Mm-hmm. And all rates are so low compared to historical rates. We just lived through a time where rates have been extremely low for a long time. Very good questions. Anything else I can answer for anybody?
Anyone have anything you would like to add to what you've discussed? Or
no, I always enjoy speaking with you guys. Always happy to answer, always happy to come to work sessions or other meetings. Just let me know. And again, as the tenant pointed out, I only get paid if the deal closes. So I'm building a relationship with the superintendent, I'm building a relationship with the treasurer, and hope to me that's more important than anything else because that helps me down the road. So I'm happy to be here whenever you need me, so just let me know.
Yeah. Mr. Hammond, I know you mentioned at our last work session, could the Finance Committee take a look at some of these options and come back with some suggestions or
Yeah, I think pros and cons? It makes sense for us to do that because I think we're at a critical age for the district to say, how do we want to spend the dollars on educating children? Sharpen our pencil. Yeah.
And Mr. Osborne, do you know how much longer that community survey out? Do you intend to close it like at the end of June, or do you have a time frame on that? Oh,
I see our left. I believe we put a June 30th date.
Yeah, end of June. Yeah.
I do believe I plan on update the end of next week just to kind of see where things are going. And I have not looked at it. I completed it, but I won't look at them until Thursday of next week is the day I'm going to look at these results and see kind of where they're going to see if there's a flavor before we get to the end of the June. And we're looking at some of the financial stuff that we have to close out here. I'll be able to put something forth at that point in time. I'm going to publicize those results. I'll get those up on the website and to Facebook and publish those results. Am I able to, somebody to hold you to these? Anything I'm allowed or not allowed that you wouldn't want to see me respond to or comment about publicly on the website?
You can do what you're comfortable with. I have disclosures on it, you know, estimated and it's like that.
It's my favorite word.
Yeah. Do what you're most comfortable with.
And I might have questions for you later. Thinking back, I've heard some of this before and it's starting like, I think I need to pull that file and review some of that information. Probably going to be the same, but I want to make sure. So thank you.
Please do. Yeah. Call yes. Anytime. My name's on here. My phone number's on these papers.
No, you're good about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Mr. Burns, for your time. I'm sure we'll all be in communication with you going forward.
Maybe we just do one call and like, list all the questions together. Or
We'll get together. Thank you again for your time. Really appreciate the information you brought us, and thank you for your remarks.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any items under board discussion? Does anyone have any action under new business? I'm seeing people pack up. I have no items under session. Does anyone have any? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Finn. Is there a second?
Yes.
Second by Beth. Any questions, comments, discussion?
I think we're good.
Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Gullett? Yeah.
I have time at 7:06. Our next work session will be Friday, June 30th. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, everyone.